So today, we find ourselves back in the book of James, chapter 1, and we are continuing on to verses 22 through 25. That's where we find ourselves after a couple weeks of a break, as Brother George was finishing the book of Philemon. And before we jump in and read that text that's written over there, I wanted to start off with a couple of examples that you all should be very familiar with. A couple of examples that we find in the Old Testament. One is about the first king of the Jewish nation, Saul, and another one about Noah, and we'll look as to what is similar and different about those two examples and how it relates to the book of James. So first, if you think back to Saul, there is an example that's written in 1 Samuel chapter 13. If you care to read it, that's where the example lives and is written. And it is an example of where Samuel spoke to Saul and asked Saul to wait for Samuel to make a sacrifice to the Lord. And the specific instructions that were given to Saul was to wait for Samuel and then make the sacrifice and let Samuel basically make the sacrifice. Saul was not supposed to do the sacrifice. And again, that's written in 1 Samuel chapter 13. We're not going to read that because it'll be reading an entire chapter. So what happened? If you recall your Old Testament history fairly well, you will remember that Saul waited and waited and waited, and the people started grumbling and complaining, and Saul felt that he could wait no longer, and he went ahead and he sacrificed himself. So he did not wait for Samuel. And so what happened then, as Samuel came, as the prophet always does seem to come last minute, just when you think the prophet's not going to show up, they always do show up, right? And if you read in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 11, this is what Saul is telling the prophet, why he actually didn't wait for him. He tells him, look, Samuel, because I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you did not come with the appropriate days, that's why I made the sacrifice. Seems like a reasonable answer, right, from a human perspective. But look what Samuel responded to him. He said, well, Saul, if you read on verse 13, 1 Samuel 13, 13, Samuel tells Saul, he says, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord of your God. Or in other words, you did not follow the word of God. So that's the first example that I wanted for us to look at. Here in that example, Saul is told what to do specifically, and he doesn't do it. Now, he had a good reason, perhaps, from a humanistic perspective not to do it, but the fact is he still didn't do it, and the prophet tells him, you're a fool. You have acted foolishly for not doing what I told you to do, what God told you to do. That's the first example. Second example is think of Noah, and I'm sure you all know that example because from the days of Sunday school, we have learned those examples of Noah and the great fathers of faith. Remember, if you think of Noah, God appeared to him when he was about 500 years old. I think it was 480 to be exact. And announced to Noah the destruction of the world. He told Noah that there was going to be a flood, everyone's going to die, and he asked Noah to go ahead and build an ark. Right? And this ark was going to be 1.5 times the length of a football field, 4 stories high and about 75 feet wide if you translate it to the current measurements. And so Noah, what did Noah do? Noah actually built the ark, as we know. He did it. He built it. It took him about 100 years, but he built the ark. And it says in Genesis 6:6 that Noah did this according to all that God had commanded him to do. So the Noah, unlike Saul, actually followed God's word and did what God told him to do. So the question you might be asking yourself as you hear these examples is, why did Noah do it? Why did Noah do it? And maybe Saul didn't do it. Why did Noah do it, right? Why did Saul not do it? And if you look in a passage that appears in Hebrews in the New Testament already, thousands and thousands of years later, you see in Hebrews 11:7, we find the following words as to why Noah did it. It says here in Hebrews 11:7 that by faith Noah, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. So why did he do it? It's because he had this living faith. The takeaway is that the living faith of Noah led him in obedience, and it led him to obedience to the word of God. And that's why he acted why he acted. Noah had the living faith. So how does this relate to our passage that we're about to read in James? Is that if you recall to a couple weeks ago, we were learning that the living faith is a good student of God's word. And if you were to backtrack even further, for those of you that are joining us today for the first time, the entire book of James is written to Christian believers. And because it is written to Christian believers, and if you were to go into outline it, you can see that James is telling the Christian believers that this is what the living faith ought to look like. So here we are gathering, we all proclaim to be in possession of the living faith. And James is writing to Christians back then and to Christians of our age as well, saying, if you, my brethren, believe you are faithful, this is what the living faith ought to look like. So test yourself. Does your faith really look this way? And so with that, last time we talked about that a living faith ought to be a good student of the Word of God. And in today's discussion, not only that, we're going to talk that it's not only supposed to be a good student, but it's also supposed to be a doer of the Word of God. Living faith obeys the Word of God. So with that, let's go ahead and read our text, which is verses 22 through 25 in the first chapter of James. It says the following, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what he's like. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So let's dig into those four verses briefly. And if I was to outline, I would say that James here gives us a command, an illustration, and then a promise at the end in those four verses. So let's reread the first command that he gives in verse 22. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." He says, be doers. That's the first word, or the first phrase, I should say. Notice that he doesn't say just do it once, but be doers. What does that mean? That means continually and consistently be doing the Word of God so that when somebody thinks of you, when somebody thinks of me, they can immediately think that doing the Word of God is a habit in our life, not an exception. That's what James is saying, is that living faith is evidenced in actions, and that it's not an exception to the rule, rather it's a consistent practice of our lives. So that's what he means by saying be doers, very briefly. Notice that the second phrase in that verse 22nd is that he says, but not hearers only. He's not saying that it's bad to hear. That's not what he's saying, because also last time we learned that in the prior verse he says, be quick to hear. But what is he saying here? What does it mean? What he means is that knowledge by itself is not enough. Knowledge, again, is just not enough. A lot of us come to church and listen, and we comfort ourselves with the thoughts that, well, we've heard about it, we know it, and that's enough. But here, in this verse 22, he's specifically telling us that knowledge is not enough, and he'll show us a demonstration in the next couple of verses to demonstrate how it's not enough, right? And so, as I was reading some of the commentaries and preparing for this message, one of the theologians, when he was commenting on this verse, he said that a lot of Christians are similar to old sponges. And you know, when you're washing dishes and you have an old sponge and sometimes you fill it up with old water or dirty water and then you leave it out for a week without any activity, it starts stinking. And so when I read his commentary, he said that our churches are filled today with spiritual sponges who soak up the information, sit without action, sour, and eventually stink. And I think that's probably a fair assessment. And that's what James is getting at. You might be wondering and asking yourself, well, what are some of the actions that my living faith ought to be doing and demonstrating? There's so many. But just to mention a couple, One action is believing in the Christ that is described in the Bible. That's one example. Another one would be, remember John, 1 John 1:7, it says, confess your sins, and he's faithful and true to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all the unrighteousness. That's another action, for example. Being obedient to the Word of God is another one. Another one is counting others more than yourself, as it says in Philippians 2:3-5. So again, James is not telling us not to hear. I want us to understand that he's telling us that listening is not where we stop. Knowing the information is not enough. We have to be doing it. And look how he ends verse 22. He says, deceiving yourself. What does that mean? That means that it's actually so easy for us, again, to come here, listen to the wonderful preachers we have, and the solid preaching that you get also from Resolved and from wherever else we listen. And it's so easy to just deceive ourselves and to think that that's enough. I've been to church. I've listened. I proverbially put in my 30 minutes or an hour, however long that I needed to put in, and I'm good to go. But again, James says, that is a deception of yourself, because that is not enough. Knowledge simply is not enough. Knowledge does not save. Because as you know, remember, even Christ said that demons believe themselves. They have the knowledge, but they don't have the saving faith. So that's that is the first commandment that it gives us. The commandment is be doers, brothers and sisters. That's the commandment. Then he goes on to an illustration. And the illustration is captured in verses 23-24. Let's read those two verses one more time. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what he's like. How many times have we used the mirror even today? Many, I'm sure. I've taken a couple glances, and by looking at you all down here, and especially up there, it would appear that you all have used the mirror today as well. And that's just today. But think of instances, and I can tell you many instances in my own life where perhaps I didn't use a mirror, but I should have. I am particularly recalling an instance at work where we went out to lunch with coworkers and had some wonderful food, and the mirror was not utilized afterwards. And then, to my horror, I realized there was a bunch of, you know, spinach in my teeth 6 hours afterwards when it was already time to go home. So that was not a good experience. And so now imagine if you had a mirror, if you had your nice spinach lunch and you had a bunch of stuff in your teeth, you looked at yourself in the mirror, you saw it, that you had spinach in your teeth, yet you walked away and did nothing about it. I think anyone would say, well, that's pretty darn foolish, isn't it? If you saw something in the mirror, you'd do something about it. And so that's what James is really trying to get to and communicate to us in this demonstration, that if anyone is a hearer, if you just come and you listen, you look at yourself, because clearly the Word of God reveals to you something. It reveals our sinfulness. Yet you walk away and you do nothing about it. You are foolish as a hearer. If I do nothing about it, I am foolish about it. That's what James is telling us in that demonstration. And so, again, as I think about our own church walk and my own church walk, how often does it happen to us? Does it happen to me? Does it happen to you where you come to church and you listen to the messages and the pastor tells us something, and as he's telling you something, you're sitting there and you're getting convicted and you think, geez, next time or over the course of this week, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, whatever it might be. I'm going to love my wife more. I'm going to show more mercy. I'm going to have better relationships with my parents. How many times do you sit there and think about that? If you're anything like me, you're probably sitting and thinking about that quite frequently, probably every Sunday, and thinking, yes, I'm going to do better. I'm actually going to put into practice all this. But how many times do we walk away on Sunday afternoon, and then next thing you know, it's already the next Sunday, and you haven't done anything? You really wanted to do something, but you haven't done anything. And here it is the next Sunday again. It happens quite frequently. It happened to me actually last Friday. Remember at Bible study, the pastor gave us an assignment to answer a couple questions. And I believe Mark actually wrote them down. to my shame, I didn't write them down. And what happened? The next Friday rolled around and he asked for a response. What did you guys think about those questions? And I had a good intent, but I just didn't do it. It wasn't there. So I think it happens to us quite frequently. And again, what does James tell us? James here tells us that that's us. If you find yourself in that category, you're listening, but you're not acting upon that. That is not a place where we want to be, because living faith has actions. Living faith is a doer of the Word of God and not just a listener. Now, granted, it happens to all of us sometimes. And the good news is that God is merciful and He forgives us that when we sin and when we actually don't follow through with some of His words. But again, what I want us to take away and walk away and realize and be honest with ourselves is that when we don't do it, that is a sin that we need to repent for. So lastly, let's finish it up on a good note. James, in verse 25, he ends with a wonderful promise. In verse 25, he says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does." So that one, as it says here, who is not just a hearer, but a doer, he will be blessed. So let's go in reverse order. I think it's a little bit easier in looking at this verse 25. First thing I want to highlight is that he says he will be blessed. The person that's actually a doer, he will be blessed. Now, isn't that wonderful? Don't we all want to be blessed? I sure do, and I think you do as well. So the point is, be a doer. The person with a living faith will be a doer. That person will be blessed. Amen. And so that's the first item I want to highlight in verse 25. The second is that, look, he says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it." So he does a wonderful job here tying this mirror analogy that we've been talking about to with what? With the perfect law of liberty. What is that? It's the law. It's the Word of God that we've been talking about. So our mirror, what is our mirror? Our mirror is looking to the Word of God. It's reading His law. It is studying His law. And as we will read it, just like the mirror, it will continue to reveal more and more of our imperfections, of our sins, of our sinful natures that need to be addressed. And that's something that we ought to be so thankful that we do have this mirror that will continue to reveal our faults. And so what James is saying here is that if we, as we continue to look into this perfect law, it will continue to reveal areas and sinful areas and areas that need to be worked on. And as we continue to bring those in a prayerful manner to God, work on those, do the Word of God through faith, there will be a blessing in our life. So in conclusion, as you read these verses, I want you to always remember the command that's given to us, just to be doers, not just hearers. This wonderful illustration of the mirror that we talked about, and the food, and the promise that has been given to us. And as you do that, and as I do that, to honestly evaluate our faith. Because I think none of us want to find ourselves in the situation or in the group that Christ describes in Matthew 7, where he says, "At the end of times, there will be many that will come and say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name?' And he'll tell him, 'I never knew you.'" And because of that, James provides a wonderful, wonderful epistle to us here where we are able to evaluate our faith. And as long as we are alive, giving us an opportunity to come to God in prayer and repentance and ask for his healing and strength to live up and to live through us according to his word. And with that, we will end. Thank you. Amen.